Thank you. It feels so delightful to be introduced as the son of Richard and Joe Peters. That's a lovely claim to fame. And yeah, so thank you, Paul, and thank you, worship team, for taking us into the throne room of God. As I was singing Alleluia, that Agnus Dei song, I couldn't help but thinking about the Alleluias that go up with every soul that's saved. We heard from three of our missionary families today, and I just think we don't know the names of the people over whom hallelujahs have been sung because of the work that they're doing. And the same is true with what God's doing here. So it's a delight to be here. It's the second week of our Global Impact Celebration. I missed the first week, and I'm sad that I did. I heard that God really used Dietrich's message and really challenged us. And I've been picking up on some of the pieces of that. I'm thankful for that. And I just want to say that I am so thankful. This, you know, there's a lot of pieces of paper in our life, marriage licenses and drivers and licenses and titles. This one has eternal value. This one lasts forever. This is storing up treasure. It's just a way of saying, God, we trust you to accomplish your work. Let us be a part of it. And so even as today we think and as we consider what God has to share with us, I trust that God will maybe even change the number on this while we're sitting here, that God will work through us to be a part by giving of his kingdom authority. We were not here last week in part because we were actually at a church in Little Rock, South Carolina, where the pastor is named Chris Alderman, a Bible college friend of mine, and his dad, Richard Alderman, is the man who wrote the book, Little Church in a Big World, that instigated the faith promise giving pattern that we have here. And Chris Alderman wrote to me this morning at 6 a.m., please greet Woodland Hills for us and tell them that our church will be praying for them at the 11 o'clock hour. Is that not beautiful? May they know the truth of 2 Corinthians 8:5, from which all promises and giving flow. In praise to Christ Jesus, our 2023 promises now total $313,000. It's a 100-member church. Only he can do this. So greetings from the Little Rock First Baptist Church from Dillon, South Carolina, from Pastor Chris Alderman, and to each of us today. We were as well earlier this weekend, as of about 10:30 last night, we got back from Reidsville, North Carolina, where today they're having their faith promise. We were with missionaries there. The weekend before that, I was able to be in Ghana with 100 or so missionaries asking God to make us fruitful in his work. Before that, in upstate New York for the weekend with other board members asking God, let us be fruitful in your service. I'm kind of feeling this overwhelming joy that God has let me be part of this church that has a passion for God's kingdom work here in our own Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's such a joy and such a thrill. I'm so thankful to be part of a church that carries that DNA. So today, I trust that the Lord will have some things to share with us through maybe a concept that isn't new to any of us, but that God has put on my heart today. And I want to start by showing you, let's see, there we go. I don't know if you can read this or not. Man Wanted. I don't know if you've ever seen this. If you know who Ernest Shackelford is, maybe you've seen this before. Man Wanted. For hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. This was, well, they're apocryphal or not, nobody has found the original want ad, but they truly believe it exists. 5,000 responses to this kind of a want ad, because he was taking his third trip to cross Antarctica by way of the South Pole. And he had 5,000. In the end, he chose 27 and one young boy stowed away on his ship. They spent 20 months locked 10 months locked in the ice on the ship until the ship was crushed and it sank. And then four more months on the ice floe, living on the ice floe with a few lifeboats until the ice floe broke apart. And then into the boats and made it to an ice-covered glacial island that's part of Antarctica. Four more months before a rescue ship finally rescued them all. You know, there are missions that seem almost insurmountable. They're amazing missions. We've had missions to the moon. There are missions to discover new lands. There are missions to discover the moon. We had a mission to the moon. There have been missions throughout history to do all kinds of things. We have rescue missions. But today I want to talk about something that's beyond any other mission that we have ever dreamt of or imagined. It's the one mission that has eternal value. The one mission that explains the entirety of the cosmos and human existence, that places the cross of Jesus Christ at the center, and that's from the very heart of God. It's God's mission that He's invited us to be a part of. And today, I want to talk about us being ambassadors of Christ. So if you wouldn't mind, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I know we're familiar with this passage, and it's a passage I'm sure that we've asked ourselves, Lord, what does this mean for us, and what does this mean for me? So may God give us a few extra thoughts today as we look at this passage. So let me begin by reading, I'm going to read a few extra verses. I'm going to back up actually to verse 11, and I'm going to start reading there. This is the ESV from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 through the end of the chapter. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Please pay attention to that therefore. The verse before that talks about the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll just come back to that. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And here's the passage that we're going to focus on this morning. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't it extraordinary that God's mission, his great mission of reconciliation, has been entrusted to us, that he's invited us to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ? Wow! That's really humbling. That's really kind of exhilarating as well. If you wonder if your life has meaning and purpose, you couldn't find a more powerful verse to say absolutely our lives are filled with meaning and purpose from the minute we awake until the minute we lay our heads down. And even while we're sleeping, God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. You know, I took a look online at the role description, because what is an ambassador? What does it mean that we're an ambassador? The role description, of which the U.S. has over 200 ambassadorial roles. Many of them are unfilled, by the way, if you're looking for work. Some of them, sadly, nowadays are kind of like favor appointments. But here's what it says the role of an ambassador is. To speak with one voice to others on U.S. policy. To speak with one voice on what the U.S. policy is. It also says advance U.S. goals. And then it says as well, to reshape the mission to serve American interests. I thought it was interesting that even from this sort of political or in the world's perspective, an ambassador, someone who stands and serves as a representative, is called to speak with the voice of authority, to advance the purposes of the one who sent them on that mission, and to be doing that in a way that continues to press forward with the goals of the one who sent them. The biblical concept that we see right here is really an interesting word. It really is born out of the word to be like older, weirdly enough. But in this context and in this setting, it means to behave as one who is responsible, who would be a faithful, loyal, servant-hearted representative of the one who has sent them. And so we see in that a number of different things. One is a trusted messenger. You know, it's a bit of a risk. Have you ever played that little game, what's it called, telephone or gossip, where you say something and then you send it around the circle? By the time it gets to the end, it doesn't sound anything like it started. And God's taken a pretty big risk with the likes of me, anyway. Let me just say it that way. I'm not going to cast any aspersions. But with the likes of me, God's taken a bit of a risk to entrust this message of his and to send me out as a trusted messenger. We're also on the mission of the one in authority. It's not like a part-time thing. We're actually on that mission as ambassadors, and we're empowered to represent that one. Can you imagine? God has empowered us to represent him. How can that really be? It's hard to even imagine, but it's true. God has empowered us through his Spirit to represent him. Additionally, we speak on behalf of the one in authority, and we carry the authority of the one in authority. Isn't that incredible? You know, if we really truly are ambassadors of Christ, then it would humble us. It should humble us in a way, because God has called us to be part of his great mission and to be his representatives in that endeavor. And I read a quote from Nikki Haley. She used to be the governor of South Carolina, I think. And she was under Trump at one point an ambassador to the UN. And this is what she said. She said, "I love this country. And when you are given an opportunity to help your country in what is one of the most volatile times we've seen in a long time, there's no way I'm not going to step up and do everything I can to help make us strong." That's just a human ambassador speaking on behalf of a human appointment, a human mission. How much more so then, as ambassadors of Christ, might we ourselves echo these same words? How can I do anything but help to do what God has asked me to do in responding and fulfilling his mission? So let's take a look at into this passage a little bit. I just have a few quick things I want to share with you from this passage that I think we can learn. And the first is this: the mission of Christ's ambassador. And the mission, I think we, even though we know it, we have to remind ourselves daily. I'm so grateful that as a church, earlier this year, I don't remember if it was in the spring or in the summer, we did in our Sunday school hour the gospel for us, or for the church. And we reminded ourselves that the gospel is for us as well. And And so from this very passage, we see a reminder of what God's mission is. It's this mission that God is reconciling the world to himself. Reconciliation to be made right. For a broken relationship to be repaired, to be restored. Where there was a chasm in the relationship, that it will be crossed and the two will be reconciled to be in right relationship again. And if ever you've experienced even that humanly, you'll know the power of reconciliation. But God's reconciliation is with the world through the death of his Son, through the substitutionary death of his Son, and by that calling for himself a people of his very own from every tongue, tribe, and nation. Yes, we know that. We know the gospel. We hear and celebrate this gospel message for ourselves and for those who hear it. But it's essential for us to each moment of each day be reminded that as ambassadors, the mission that we're on is this mission. Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost in Luke 19, and nothing could stop him from doing what his Father asked him to do. All the pain that he bore was in the pursuit of this great, eternal, cosmic, divine mission. And then the 24 words that Billy Graham says define the entirety of the message of God's word from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do we some days forget that we're actually ambassadors on mission? This mission, God's mission, him reconciling the world to himself. It's not like a side hustle. You know what a side hustle is? It's not like a part-time thing that we get to do. This is actually part of our new identity as a child of God. First and foremost, we're sons and daughters of the living God. But this is descriptive of us as an identity, a meaningful, purposeful, and very, very impactful identity that we carry as those who have come to know Christ, who have been called by him, reconciled to God by him, and now entrusted as ambassadors of this extraordinary message. And I'm so thankful. And here's the sobering part of it. Whether we like it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, every minute, every hour of every day, we are a representation of the King of Kings. So when we cut that driver off in front of us or behind us, or when we are impatient because my coffee order took a minute longer than I expected, we're also bringing a dimmer reflection of the King who we represent than we could otherwise have brought. There's the power of that and the wonder of that, but there's also the sobering, humbling realization that we actually, by definition, represent and reflect this King who's called us. So this is the mission that we're on. And what about the power for this? What about the power of the ambassador? Part of the content of this word ambassador is that there's authority and power invested. Where does the power come from? Well, let's take a quick look at a few things that it says right here in this passage. So verse 18 says this, all this is from God. It's God who's doing the work. And then it says, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. He's the prime mover and the initiator of this reconciliation, and gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. God's the subject of all the verbs in this entire sentence. It's God who's doing the work. And his invitation to us to participate in it is not in any way a diminishing of the reality that it's only God who can change hearts. It's only God who can fulfill this mission and reconcile people to himself. Secondly, and this is another source of power, it says a little bit earlier in the passage, it's in verse 14, for the love of Christ compels us, Paul writes. What wonderful power there is in that, to remember, as we just did this morning, of the love of God for us. How can we not be compelled? And that's a beautiful Greek word. that really means to lay siege. It's like God's love has come surrounded us so much that it's pouring over the walls of our defenses. It's breaking down the doors of the citadel of our heart. God's love is coming after us and capturing us and taking hold of our hearts such that we can't not talk about it. We always commend that thing that we cherish. And because God cherishes us, He opens our hearts and our minds to cherish Him. There's a power there. And each of these sources of power is one of the ways that God helps us overcome the barriers. What keeps us? What keeps each of us from being a faithful ambassador, from sharing openly, from proclaiming each day who God is to the people that we meet? There's lots of things. Our fear. We love ourselves a little more than we love Jesus, maybe. Maybe we're just unsure or feeling inadequate. Maybe we're a bit embarrassed or shy. There's a whole bunch of things that could potentially keep us from doing that. But this love of God for us is the perfect antidote to apathy. Sometimes we just walk by people in the store and we don't even notice them. Sometimes our neighbors come and go from their driveway for a solid week, and it never crosses our mind that God loves them with an everlasting love and sent His Son. God's love poured out on us is the perfect antidote to a kind of apathy that keeps us from really exercising the power of a true ambassador, being on mission for God. Thirdly, the power comes from the fact that God's our sufficiency. To be honest with you, I feel weakness this morning. I got back late last night after a long journey, second long journey up to North Carolina, and lots of things going on in our life. And yet the good news is that Christ Himself is our adequacy. Chapter 3, earlier Paul is talking about this same ministry. He calls it at the beginning the ministry of the new covenant, then the ministry of righteousness, the ministry, he calls it, of the Spirit, and here the ministry of reconciliation. And he says, I'm not sufficient in myself. Not that we're sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. You know, it's nice because sometimes we make mistakes and say the wrong thing. I don't know if I've told you this story before, but when long ago, this happened a long time ago, so it's ancient history, and Ellen doesn't mind me telling it. But we were in China, and we lived in a little one room, And so everything that Ellen was doing over there, I was just sitting over there listening. And she was sharing with a young Chinese woman, and we had been memorizing Chinese scripture, and I heard Ellen start sharing some scripture verses, and she was like, for all have sinned, in Mandarin, for all have sinned and fall short, whosoever believeth is not of works, lest any man should boast. She had like combined all of these verses, and I was just about to say, and all of a sudden the Chinese woman just burst into tears and was like, clearly impacted by the power of Scripture, even though it was all scrambled together. It didn't matter what happened there. God did the thing. He's the sufficiency. We all know it. We've all been there. We look in the mirror and we see our insufficiency. This is the antidote to inadequacy, that He's our sufficiency. God's glory shines in and through us, and His Holy Spirit is in us. How wonderful is that? So, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. One of the powers for being an ambassador is that it's actually God is transforming us, and He's letting His glory shine out through us. You might not know it, but I can see it. I can see it when I'm here at this church. In you, I see God's transforming glory in you. I wouldn't say that all of you are, you know, glowingly radiant every day, but there is a sense in which there's no doubt that the Holy Spirit is in you and that you're actually shining out. Sometimes we're wondering, what am I even doing? And sometimes just our just the glory of God because of his transforming work is enough for God to do a work in another person. I don't mean to give us an excuse not to be bold to proclaim who he is. But there are many, many examples of this. We have a colleague who works in Jordan. I may have told you this story before, but he's a gifted musician. He has a Jordanian friend who they had been evangelizing each other for a year, trying to convince each other to take on the other's religion, playing music together. They had been playing and talking one day, and the Jordanian guy said, "Hey, I'm just going to sit for a few minutes over here." And so our colleague was just starting to sing a few worship songs that he's coming out of his heart. He was just singing some songs he knew and was caught up in the worship for a little while, and then suddenly looked over. His Jordanian friend just weeping. And his friend, he said, what's the matter? He said, "Whoever you're singing to, I want to know that God." Sometimes the glory of God sneaks out even when we don't know it. You remember Exodus 33, Moses would go into the tent and he would have to put a veil over his face because it says he spoke with God as a man speaks with his friend. Can you imagine that same glory that God shone down in that tent of meeting that Moses would go into with God is the same glory that God wants to reveal in his transforming work? That's part of the power of being a true ambassador. We used to go to the embassies and they had these rules about how their staff was supposed to behave. We would go there and play, we had really good volleyball players in Kyrgyzstan, and we would play the embassy Marines in volleyball. I just have to say the Marines were not following the guidelines, the behavior guidelines on the embassy wall. So that's another part of the glory. And then here's the other thing. I was just at a conference over in Czech Republic about, I don't know, that was 4 weeks ago or 5 weeks ago. And they had us do an exercise to like 12 people inside circle, 12 people outside circle. And the guy facilitating it was asking, you faced each you would face one person from the inside circle and outside circle would be facing. And there would be a question asked by the facilitator. Some were really serious. What's the biggest struggle you're facing in your ministry? Others were silly. One of them was, what superpower would you like to have? And it was like, that was like the loudest part of the conversation because everyone's all talking back and forth at once. The Holy Spirit is not a superpower, but the God of the universe lives in us. The God of the universe. Why should we be worried or afraid when we go to our neighbor and say, "Hey, you want to come over and have a coffee?" Or when you're at the park and you meet somebody and you say, "Hey, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself." Why should we be afraid when the God of the universe dwells in us? The antidote to fear is the recognition that the Holy Spirit himself dwells in us. Okay. The last area of power comes from Paul's ongoing explanation of this ministry. Chapter 4, verse 6, he says this, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." One of the most important components of being faithful ambassadors is that God's illumining power in our hearts and minds. He's continuing to reveal himself to us, to shine and illumine and take away the blinders from our eyes. Even listening to those families share what God is doing today helped to remind me and open my eyes to some new things that God wants to say to me. And so part of what helps us keep sharing with others is that we're refreshed in our awareness of who God is and what he's doing every time the Holy Spirit gives us a new illumination. Right, so we have seen that our mission is the very mission of God, of reconciliation, and then the power comes from his Spirit in us and all that he's doing in us. But I also want to talk about the perspective of Christ's ambassadors. The first is our perspective of ourselves. You'll see in this passage that Paul writes that we are a new creation. It's hard to sometimes remember that that's true, that because Christ has taken hold of us, that all things are made new. and that we no longer live for ourselves, but for Him. We belong to Him. We belong to the One who has reconciled us to Himself. And I think sometimes we listen to the enemy's lies that tell us, you should be ashamed of yourself. You're not quite good enough. Who are you to talk about this? Nobody's going to listen to you. There's 1,000 things the enemy would love to tell us about us. When God is saying, I have made you new. A new heart, a new destiny, a new inheritance, a new family, a new purpose, a new meaning. But it's also a new view of others. And a new view of others really has to do with verse 16, where Paul writes that we therefore regard no one according to the flesh. Because we're ambassadors, and a U.S. ambassador would have the same responsibility, is to view everyone through the lens of the mission that God, that their state had sent them on. As those who are ambassadors of Christ, our perspective of those around us should be aligned with Jesus' perspective. When He entered Jerusalem, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says that when He saw the people, He saw that he was deeply moved. He saw they were like sheep without, they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Do we really see the other people around us as human souls? They say that D.L. Moody had a group of Christian leaders who came to see him and came to his office and came up with him to his office. And he said to them, look out the window, what do you see? And one by one, they described what they saw out the window, the park and the city, And they then looked to him and said, what do you see? And he was weeping. And he said, I see lost souls who don't know Jesus. As ambassadors on God's mission, do we really see? Lastly, a perspective of Christ's ambassador is a new perspective of time and eternity. It's not very popular to talk about this, but I just want to go back to that verse that I mentioned at the beginning. Why is the therefore, therefore? Verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, it's not popular to talk about eternity anymore, except in terms of heaven. No one wants to talk about eternal damnation, about hell. This church, I know, is an exception to that, but many, many places there is a hesitancy to articulate the fact that a day of judgment is coming. You know, time now is marching toward an end point. And so we have to be mindful that God's mission is built into God's mission is a recognition that this temporal is different from the eternal. And so there's a measure of urgency for us in the way that we view time. Last week, when we got back from Little Rock, we heard that my sister Lori, some of you will have, you know Lisa, my sister Lisa. I have another sister, Lori, helps take care of Dad. Lori's married to Johnny. And Lori and Johnny know the Lord. And Johnny saw his mother off to eternity in August. And we found his brother, Johnny's brother, Tommy, had now just been released from the hospital into hospice care and was on morphine, staying at my sister's house. And he's been a rebel his whole life, shaking his fist in the hand of God. And so last Sunday, Ellen and I, before we came here in the evening, God prompted us, go. There was Tommy sitting in his wheelchair with his morphine and his partner, Jody. And God just challenged us to ask them a simple question. Do you want to find peace with God? They weren't very open to talking about it. But that night, Sunday night, God made my wife wide awake in the night with a conviction to write a letter. And she wrote the entire gospel in a letter to Tommy and Jody. And this morning at 6:12, Johnny went into eternity. And Tommy went into eternity. And And this is what my sister wrote. He passed peacefully in his sleep. Jody woke us at about 4 to let us know she thought Tommy had passed. She told me that in the wee hours she had prayed out loud to God for him. She's not a believer either, and Ellen had challenged them to pray. She said that Tom asked her, "What did you say?" She told him she was praying for him, and he responded, "Thank you, I love you for that." That was their last conversation, and some time later he passed peacefully in his sleep. You know, at least there's hope. At least there's hope that Tommy in that bed said, "Jesus, remember me," like the thief on the cross. But I'm so thankful that Ellen listened to God, that she had a view of time and a view of the other and a view of herself that allowed her to stay on mission. There is a time frame for this. It's daytime. Let's work while it's day, because night's coming. So let that be. Imagine if we, as real ambassadors, imagine this town with 10,000 ambassadors from some other country. That's all you'd hear about. Imagine if we were all faithfully serving to the fullest as ambassadors for Christ here in this town. There are others who are on their way to an eternity, either in God's presence or separated forever from Him. And may God make us faithful as His ambassadors. Three quick practical ways. Can we learn to ask good questions? One of the best things we can do is in advance, before even with someone, be thinking about what we might ask. So if I'm at the gym, I have questions like, "Hey, what are the best things you do to maintain both your health externally and internally?" Just something that might stir the pot. That's one challenge I have for us. Secondly, a second challenge, and this may match up maybe a little bit with something that that Dietrich said last week, but I wonder if we could also begin the habit of asking God every single day. Change our prayer habit to ask Him every single day, every day, that there might be one person that day, one person that, even if we don't share the whole gospel, with whom we can at least initiate a conversation that might turn toward the spiritual. There's 1,000 good resources online. Just Google questions, spiritual conversation questions, and you'll find 15 websites that give you fantastic ideas for what we can do. And then the last thing, in terms of practice, may we as a church grow in the hospitality ministry that God has given to us. I'm grateful for the many ways, the international ministries, the English teaching, and many other things. But my prayer is that we, Ellen and I, and us as a family, would grow in offering hospitality. As we listened to those missionaries today, we realized building relationships, deepening trust, and then telling them about Jesus is God's pattern, is the most common way that people come to know Him. So may God empower us and strengthen us to do this. And may God also challenge us today as we now spend some time thinking about and praying about our faith promise for this year. Let me pray. Lord, would you cause us to be ambassadors who represent You with an ever-growing and ever-increasing clear reflection of Your glory in our lives, in our words, and may You make us actively and boldly speaking on Your behalf according to Your purposes on Your mission. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.